and welcome everyone to Wigham Baptist Church for our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up our worship service with prayer. There are some baked goods in the fellowship hall on the counter. If anyone is interested in, they are what was left over from a bake sale yesterday. You're welcome to them. They already packaged up and everything, and if you can still, if you like to make a donation, you can see one of the ladies in Sissy's Sunday school class, and they'll take care of that, but that's not necessary. But if you'd like to still make a donation, you can for that. October the 16th, our church will be feeding English as a second language class at First Baptist in Cairo. There's a list of items to sign up for that we need in the back of the church. They list in the back of the church. But also like to, what time do we need to be there? 8? Yeah. Anyone and everyone is invited to come and help with this ministry. We'll have the food prepared and everything, but Janice talked with one of the teachers yesterday, I believe, and she's encouraging the churches. If you just want to come and socialize during the meal with the Hispanics and all that go there, she says that really helps them practice their English. And I had never really thought about that. So we'd like to invite anyone from the church. Just be there at 7:45 p.m. next Monday. And then even if, you know, the meal is prepared and everything, maybe we can spend some time and just socialize and let the ones that are learning English talk to us and visit with them. Standing in the Gap Men's Ministry is October 12th at 7 o'clock here at the church. That's Thursday, right? Mm-hmm. Thursday night. Meal provided. The Titus 2 Women's Ministry meeting October 17th at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. And October 29th, 5th Sunday lunch after church. We also have the Lord's Supper that day, right, Brother Tim? Yeah, we'll, in their worship service, we'll have the Lord's Supper. Let's see. Any other announcements, y'all?
The 31st, is the
trunk or treat? 31st, we'll have more. I'm sure, yes. October, that's Tuesday, I believe. October 31st, we'll have a trunk or treat here at the church. I believe that's on Tuesday night. We'll have more information on that coming up, I'm sure. 30 in Sunday school this morning. We'd like to encourage you. If you're not participating in Sunday school, please come and to our Sunday school and invite people to come. We have good fellowship, but most of all, we also have teaching and discipleship that's going on that really helps everyone. If you would, remember Philip and Jan this morning. Jan had to take Philip to the hospital, from what I understand. They're running some tests and all, so we'll try to provide updates on that. Any birthdays? No birthdays? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come today, Lord, with humble hearts and just with an attitude of humility, Lord, just realizing, Lord, that it is such an honor to be able to be here to worship our Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord, I want to lift Brother Tim up to you as he brings your message today, Lord. But I want to just pray for everyone that's here today, Lord, that we've come with a heart of worship today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, this morning our call to worship is "We Will Glorify." So let's all stand and glorify the Lord in song. If you're looking in the hymnals, it'll be in hymn 213.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify.
then next, our next hymn will be hymn 441, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. 441. We'll sing all four. I'm sorry. That was a last minute change. We were doing in the garden, but we changed on Sissy. So we'll get there, Sissy. 3:30. Thank you, Brother Tanner. 3:30. We should know that by heart by now, shouldn't we? Thank you. Jesus loves me.
And he said she made him come up here and help her out. So.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him be.
Song this morning is not in the hymnals, and we were going to do it as a special, but we could not find the music to it. It's not in our hymnal. But everybody here probably has heard this song, He Touched Me. He Touched Me. So we want the congregation to help us this morning, and Sissy found it in another book right before service. So if you'll please stand one more time and sing, He Touched Me. The word should be on the screen.
Thank you.
He was speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he, meaning Jesus, was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said to him, "He is of age, ask him." So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man," referring to Jesus, "is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "You are completely born in sin, and you are teaching us." And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come to this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning just, Lord, realizing that you are the one who can open eyes. So, Lord, I pray today that if there is one here who knows about you, that really doesn't know you, Lord, maybe they've heard what you've done, and maybe they've testified of what you have done in other people's life, but, Lord, they have never experienced you for themselves. And, Lord, today I pray that you would open their eyes so that they may see you and see you clearly for who you are. Lord, that there would be no doubt. Lord, I pray that you have your way in each and every heart and life here today, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is one of the many miracles that Jesus did while he was on this earth. But we come to this passage in chapter 9, and we find that there is this blind man. We don't know his age. We don't know his name. So you know what that means to me anytime I read that in Scripture? If there's no age and no name, I can put my name in that place. Because just like the blind man, we all need to come to the recognition that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Messiah, and unless we believe that and trust in him, we will never have spiritual sight. We'll always be spiritually blind. Well, this man, he was born that way. He had never, ever seen the light of day. Think of how blessed you are just to have had sight. Even if your eyesight's not 20/20, you have been able to see. I've been blessed to be in the mountains. I've been blessed to be on the beach at sunrises and sunsets. And I just love those times of the day. especially like when the temps are like this morning. Amen. It's beautiful to see those things, but think of a blind person. They had to have been led around their whole life, trusting other people. But Jesus is walking by with his disciples. And it's a natural question to ask this, because I believe all of us have done it at one time or another. We see somebody who is different than us. We see somebody who has some type of defect limitations on their physical body. And we ask the question, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? And the disciples asked Jesus, is it this man's fault that he was born this way, or was it the sins of his parents that caused him to be born like this? Because isn't that what we always want to do? We want to blame somebody else. We do. And Jesus confronts them straight up and says, it's neither one. It's not the parent's fault, and it is not the child's fault. Now, in our society today, there are things you can do that affect your baby while it's being formed in your womb, right? Drinking, alcohol, drugs, whatever. Things that can affect the birth of a child and the outcome of their health. But here's the thing. Jesus said this is not the reason at all. That God has a purpose in this child's life. You know, it is amazing to find out how many mothers abort their babies when they find out they have a physical defect. I think it's somewhere in 86% or so that when their child is diagnosed to have Down syndrome. Sad. Jesus clearly says that this man was born blind so that the works of God may be revealed in him. Can I tell you, there is no one sweeter than a child with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. Amen? They love you unconditionally. They've got a heart of gold. And it really shows us that God can use anybody for his plan and purpose. But the disciples asked the question, and Jesus clearly tells them it was not parents, it was not the child, it wasn't their son, that God wanted to work his works in him and through him. So what does Jesus do? Now that sounds gross. I used to like playing football in high school, but I just wasn't real crazy about people sweating all over me. You know what I mean? That was probably the worst thing about it. I couldn't imagine somebody spitting on me, okay? Now, I know Jesus didn't spit on him, but he spits on the ground because none of us like that, right? And he makes clay, but now this ain't the first time Jesus had clay in his hands. Because you go back to the beginning, Genesis, it tells us that we're going to form man in our image. That was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, whose work. And so some commentators say that Jesus, by symbolically doing that clay in saliva in his hand, put that clay over his eyes and made him a new set of eyes. That is very possible. I'm not going to deny it because I wasn't there and I didn't see it with my eyes. But here's the thing. Jesus anointed this man's eyes. And he tells him something. He says, go to the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Why was Jesus sent? Well, he tells us right here in verse 4. He said, I must work the works of him, meaning God the Father, who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am what? The light. What better way to reveal who Jesus was to the world than to bring light to a man who'd never seen light? What better way than to give this man the gift of sight when he was blind and physically, and at this point, he was blind spiritually. And so Jesus was bringing light to the world, not just in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense as well. Well, did a man do? He had to have some kind of faith that. Could you imagine somebody spitting on the ground, making clay and putting over your eyes and then tell you to go to a pool? What if I fall in and I can't see how to get out? Amen? Right? I mean, he's mine. And he tells you to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he does. And when he does, what happens? He can see. Now, how many of you have ever mowed the grass on a hot summer day when it hadn't rained in 2 or 3 weeks? What do you get in your eyes if the wind's blowing? You get grass and dust and sand. When I worked at the sawmill, I had to sharpen my own side head knives. And one time I was grinding away and I had my safety glasses on and all, and I hit that thing and I was distracted and I hit it and I had pushed it too far, and when that grinding wheel hit it, just poof, and I got sand in my eyes. I couldn't go fast enough and wash that sand out of my eyes. You know what I mean? Because you're getting big old chunks of stuff in there and it just irritates you. Here's what I believe. Jesus could have made this man a new set of eyes, but Jesus also wanted to irritate this man until he could see the truth. He had to go, and as he's washing his eyes out, he's trying to get all this sand out of his eyes, and he's going through this process, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but he's going through this process of just knowing this man named Jesus. To Jesus becoming his Savior, becoming his Lord. Man, verse 7 tells us he went and washed and came back seeing. But then you have the church people come. I say this, I'm kidding. It says his neighbors passed by. What did the neighbors ask? How did this happen? And then there was the naysayers. There was those others who didn't really know, but they knew the man, and he used to always sit at the gate begging for alms, right? And he was always asking, begging people for stuff, and they wanted to know. And so 5 times people are asking this man over and over again, and, you know, he finally gets to the point of where he confronts them in a sense. But there are those who doubt. Says in verse 8, it was from his neighbors. Verse 9, it was from those who passed by. And then they asked the question, how are your eyes open? In verse 10, and then asking, where is he? In verse 12, and then in verse 15, you have the scribes and the Pharisees asking the same questions over and over again. But we have to remember, at this point in time, this man had never seen Jesus, number one, with his physical eyes. Because by the time he went and washed it, he was blind, right? He went and washed it at the pool of Siloam, and he comes back seeing, but he didn't see Jesus, because by then Jesus is already gone. And then, you know, all these people ask, well, where is he? Meaning Jesus, where is he? Well, the easiest way to doubt a miracle is to try to disprove it. Right? Where is this man named you? I don't know. He was telling the truth. He didn't know. So they question him and they question him and they question him, and the same answer, same answer, same answer. Isn't that what they do in an interrogation? They ask you 2 or 3 times the same things over and over and over again to see if your story changes. Well, this man stuck to the story. Jesus came, Jesus on my eyes. Jesus told me to go wash. I went wash and I came back seeing. This man gained his sight. But instead of being happy for them, they called him a liar. They call him a liar. And when that didn't work, they called his parents, because we don't know how old he was. We just know he'd been born blind. They called his parents, and they're really accusing his parents of promoting this lie this whole child's life. They're promoting this story that they were faking their son's blindness all this time. Could you imagine trying to do that? That's crazy. Well, they brought the parents in verse 23. They say, yes, he is our son, and yes, he was born blind, but he is of age. Ask him. You know what they were worried about? They were worried about the scribes and the Pharisees, and New King James says the Jews, because they had already conspired together that if anybody said Jesus was the Messiah, they were going to be kicked out of the church. You say, well, that's no big deal. Can I tell you, it's not like it is today where people church hop. And I'm just using what's true. People church hop. If you don't like what's going on here, somebody makes you bad, somebody looks at you wrong, you just jump to another church. Well, back then, the synagogue was the place because the people would come, they would offer their offerings, they would do their sacrifices, and if you were kicked out of the church, you weren't going to heaven. Amen? If you couldn't offer a sacrifice for your sin, how were your sins going to be covered? Because it was a different system back then before Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And so it would be basically like being kicked out of your family. Nobody would buy from you if you were in business, and nobody would sell to you. You were just put out. So what do they do? Well, Tim hit on this morning in Sunday school, but talking about the Supreme Court with the Sanhedrin. They said basically what would have been a Supreme Court in a religious sense back then, and they bring this man back in front of them, and they question him, and they question him, and they question him again and again and again. And he gets to the point where they're asking these questions, and today we would say that it was tampering with a witness, because they bring this man in, they say, first off, give God the glory, and that would be like today when we walk into court with time, I don't even know if they do that anymore, where you have to swear on a Bible. I don't know. I've never been in court, amen. Thank goodness. And they say, give God the glory. In other words, you tell the truth. You swear to tell the truth. But then they make this statement. We know that this man, meaning Jesus, is a sinner. How do they know he was a sinner? Because Jesus wasn't bound by their law. Because the Sabbath law was a law that God gave, but it was for the benefit of man. And they're using this same law to condemn Jesus for giving a blind man sight. So what does he do? He gives a statement. He defends Jesus. Verses 25 through 29, I'm not going to read them again. But I believe it's one of the most profound statements in the Bible. He says, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I know that once I was blind, but now I see. This man makes this statement, and that's one of the reasons why we're kind of mixed up on the Psalms this morning, which is okay, amen. But that's the part, because once I was blind, but now I see. Can you say that this morning? Can you say that once you were in spiritual darkness, but now you realize that you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because I'm going to tell you, if you haven't made that choice, you're going to die and go to hell. I love you, and I don't want you going to hell. But if you've never made that choice, you've never made that decision, your destiny is already sealed. Do we have that testimony? Do you know that in the Old Testament, Isaiah, three different times Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would come and he would restore sight to the blind? Man. What more evidence did the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes need than to see that, hey, this man, he spit on the ground, he made clay, he anointed my eyes, I went and washed, I come back seeing. What more evidence did they need to realize that Jesus was the Messiah? See, they were blind. They were blind spiritually. It took a blind man some time to understand what happened to him. Because remember, this blind man, even in this part in the story, still has not seen Jesus. So we ask, why did Jesus have to make clay and put in his eyes? And I kind of said this already, but I believe it's because he wanted to make the formerly blind man irritated to see who he really was. As he watched, as he came back seeing, as he thought about his life and what Jesus did, I want us to notice the progression here. We're not going to go back and read these verses, but I want us to notice the progression of this blind, formerly blind man's testimony. In verse 11, he calls Jesus a man. Okay? He's just a man named Jesus. He did this to me. And in verse 17, he says, when they ask him, what did he think about this person? He says, well, he must be a prophet. He's a prophet. He's got to be more than a man because a simple man could not heal me. But then in verse 33, this blind, formerly blind man tells the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, he said he must be from God. He must be from God. But then verse 38, I want us to realize that the Lord had irritated him into seeing who he truly was. In verse 38, he calls Jesus his Lord. Calls Jesus his Lord. He had to reason out what had happened to him because he had been born with physical eyes that could not see. He was born with spiritual eyes who could not see. Now he has received his physical sight and he is in the process of receiving his spiritual sight because he is beginning to realize and understand and reason out who this could be. And even with the sarcasm of the scribes and the Pharisees, I want us to realize something here. This man, he begins to make these statements in verse 30. When they're questioning who did this, and that this man, Jesus, could not have been from God because he wasn't observing the Sabbath. But this blind man said, this only blind man says, the man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has open eyes. In a way, he is turning it back around on them. Because they've been using the Old Testament laws to condemn Jesus for working on the Sabbath day. And now he's referring back to Isaiah, the 3,000 Isaiah, that Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would open up the eyes of the blind. He says, it's a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. The only prayer God hears from a sinner is a prayer of repentance. Prayer of faith. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So what does the church do? Kick him out. Excommunicate him. They cast him out. That's literally what it means. They cast him out of the synagogue. He could no longer come and worship. But don't miss this point, though, because Jesus didn't leave him in that situation. Jesus finds me. Jesus heard what happened. And Jesus comes back around and he finds the formerly blind man. And he just simply asks him a question. Do you believe in the Son of God? Who is it that I may believe in him? Jesus said you have both seen him. This is the first time he's seen Jesus with his physical eyes. And it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You see, that needs to be all of our testimony. I was once blind. I was doing my own thing. I was running my own way. I was running just as hard and just as fast to hell as I could possibly go. But then God turned me around. God gave me eyes to see that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And the only way for me to be saved is for me to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But there's a group of people who were not happy for the blind man to receive a sign. Amen? Isn't that always? Some people just can't stand to see somebody else be blessed. These people were called the scribes and Pharisees. They weren't happy about this blind man getting a sign because they were more concerned about some law that they had added on to and added on to and added on to. They kicked him out. But as Jesus is speaking to the blind man, and he makes a statement about those who say they can see. I want us, because we can't miss this. Verse 39, Jesus says, for judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. You see, these Pharisees thought because they were religious that they automatically got a place in heaven, that they could trace their lineage back to Abraham, that they already had their place in heaven. It didn't matter so much what they did or didn't do. They lived a good life. They were church people. Amen. They were there at the synagogue every time the doors were open. They brought their offerings. They brought their tithes. They did all the work that they were supposed to. They looked the part, dressed the part, smelled the part, walked the part, talked the part. They did all the religious things. And because of that, they thought they were good enough. They thought that in their spiritual, ritual, religion that they were in, but they could not see Jesus for who he was. You know, that's even possible today. We can grow up in church. We can hear all the Bible stories. We could quote the Bible from back to front and front to back. But the issue is, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen him not just with your physical eyes as the words on a page or in a song, but have you experienced him in your heart and life spiritually? Has your eyes been open to the fact that you need a Savior? Because these Pharisees, they thought they had it all figured out. They believed that Jesus was a scam, even though they had all the proof they could possibly want. They were always seeking a sign, but every time Jesus shared who he was, they still would not believe. And yet, that's true even today. Some people have all the proof to know that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for sins he didn't commit. He rose again on the third day, and he is seated in heaven, interceding on our behalf today. They see all that, they know all that, but it's only with the eyes, the physical eyes. It's not with spiritual eyes or spiritual heart. And I ask you today, you have a choice, just like the Pharisees had. You have a choice whether you believe Jesus is who he says he is, or you can choose to deny who he is. You can choose to leave here today seeing like the blind man, or you can leave here blind like the Pharisees who were physically seeing. You have a choice today. My question to you is, what decision will you make? Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? And if you have, has he changed your life? He changed the life of the blind man, and he can change your life too. But you have to put your faith and trust in him. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that as we were singing earlier before the service began, and we were singing about your amazing grace, Lord, I pray that that is true for all of us, that we could all say that we were once blind, but now we see. Lord, that we see who you are. We see the sinfulness of our own selves, and Lord, we confess our sins to you and ask for your forgiveness. But then, Lord, it doesn't just stop there. Lord, it begins with repentance. Because if it never changes who I am and what I do, then, Lord, it's not real faith. Lord, I pray today that we would see you with eyes of faith. Lord, that we would trust you, believe in you, follow you, Lord, wherever it may take us, wherever it may lead. I pray that you would have your way. Lord, if there's just one here today who has never trusted you, then I pray today would be the day. Maybe there are others, Lord, who know who you are. They've surrendered their lives, but they're just not walking in the ways you would lead them. Lord, I pray that they would repent, turn back to you, and begin to follow you once again. Lord, whatever it is you want to do in our hearts and lives, I pray that we would be obedient. I pray it in Jesus' name.